So Canada's unbeaten, and like I said, we're good at soccer now. We have an up-and-comer in Alphonso Davies. He looks legit, man. 3 goals through a couple of matches.
Yeah, he's excellent. And, you know, Vancouver Whitecaps, they know about this guy. They've had him for a couple of years, but they're doing a really nice job ushering him into professional soccer. You know, he's started a few games, but they've been protecting him pretty much. And, yeah, he's been great. Everything he hits seems to go in right now. He's very, very quick. I mean, he did suffer an ankle injury and came off the field early last time out, but Octavio Zambrano, the coach, says he will be fit and healthy to go on Friday. But, you know, let's just enjoy this right now. Who knows what he'll become? He's 16. You know, we do see these players every now and again break through young and then don't, you know, really rise to the occasion, you know, long term. But who's to say he won't? A lot of big clubs are very much interested, are sniffing around, but at the moment he's in just the right set of Vancouver. And we have some hope. I mean, listen, you know, whether it works out or not, it's so rare to have hope as a Canadian soccer fan. Mm-hmm. Let's just enjoy this right now and watch this kid play, because he is exciting. He plays with a smile on his face. His pace is electric. He's confident. It's just a ton of fun right now. So let's just embrace it, I say.
Is there a comparison to be made with the national team program? Is there anybody that's come along in the last 20 years that has had similar start, similar expectations at a similar age and not panned out or not gotten this country to where it wants to be?
Well, if they were, they end up playing for different countries, right?
Yeah.
There was, you know, Owen Hargreaves was rated, but at 16 he'd been let go by the Canadian program. Jonathan de Guzman was another who was very young when he broke through in Europe, and, you know, he was one that everyone really hoped would commit to Canada. It didn't happen. Instead, he chose the Netherlands. He played the World Cup. He's had a very good career. But no, I really can't remember anyone quite like this. You know, I was speaking to Scott Arfield, who's the Canadian, well, Scottish, really, but he plays in Canada, a midfielder, probably the best player right now. And he was saying, in all his years playing professional soccer, he's never seen anyone this good so young. So, yeah, I think he's very much an anomaly. But it proves, you know, there is talent out there, but you got to discover it and give Vancouver a lot of credit for discovering it, and Alberta soccer as well.
So now he's ours, right? No, there's not weirdness. Like, he's not going to find in his back pocket some bizarro, like, French passport or anything, right?
Not well. I mean, he's potentially, when he's like 37, he could play for Ghana, I suppose. Like Florent Malouda of French Guiana, that whole
right
now. But no, he's ours. He's going nowhere. We have him for as long as you need him.
Okay, so thank you for bringing up Florent Malouda, who played for French Guiana, and they played to a scoreless draw against Honduras, maybe. I reset the whole thing, but they might be disqualified because he's a French international and he's already been capped by them, but maybe French Guiana is not a FIFA-recognized nation, and maybe he won't force that nation into a forfeit, or maybe he will, and I guess we'll find out tomorrow?
I guess so. I mean, right now it's with the CONCACAF disciplinary committee, that they've said nothing else since then. No one knows what's going on. It looks like, essentially, even though it was 0-0, Honduras will be giving a 3-0 win, because French Guiana will have to forfeit that match. And the same would happen if he played against Costa Rica on Friday as well. He didn't play against Canada. That's when the story kind of first broke, that he wasn't allowed to play, so they didn't play him in that one. But then they got their backs up and said, no, you know, this guy wasn't told, we weren't told he couldn't play up until now. Are you kidding us, CONCACAF? So they played him and made him their captain. It's farcical. It really is. It's very CONCACAF.
Yeah.
How this guy was even allowed to be on the squad to begin with. I understand French Guiana for being frustrated, but at the same time, if they're told the guy can't play, don't play him. You know, it's a joke. And you wonder what it means long-term for these non-member nations. French Guiana, like Martinique, for example, Curaçao as well, aren't FIFA-sanctioned countries. So they can't qualify for World Cups. You know, if they're contributing to the rules and making this federation look bad, you wonder if they'll be invited back in future tournaments. But, yeah, it's a joke. And for Canada, you hope it's going to be rectified by tomorrow, because they're playing Honduras. And if Honduras have 1 point or 3 points, it does affect Canada in qualification for the next round. So we'll see what happens. But it's pretty embarrassing, actually.
Does goal differential play a part here? Like, do those three goals, yeah, if they're awarded a 3-0 victory, that actually counts as goals for?
Yeah, it's a goal differential. Yeah, goal differential is the first tiebreaker.
Neat.
Right? Oh, isn't that fun? It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Come on, that's a joke.
It is. And at the same time, you look at Honduras, too. They entered that game on Tuesday thinking that, well, this game doesn't really count because this guy shouldn't be allowed to play. So you wonder where their heads were, and they didn't play well. You know, they played very poorly. So really the whole group's been thrown into chaos because of this one player and one team contravening a rule that may not be a rule.
Right.
So, yeah, it really paints the tournament in a good light, doesn't it?
Not really. talking to James Sharman, who's in Texas, getting set for Canada-Honduras tomorrow at the Gold Cup. Like I said, unbeaten. A victory over French Guiana, 4-2. No Florent Malouda in that one, though. And a 1-1 draw against Costa Rica. That's a legit result, right, James? Like, that is, hey, they've had trouble scoring. Like, this is the first time they've scored at this tournament, since 2011? So they scored, and they managed to escape with a result against a pretty good nation. Like, that's more impressive than 4-2 over French Guiana, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, listen, Costa Rica are one of the pre-tournament contenders. Some might say they're amongst the one or two favorites because the U.S. and Mexico aren't putting together their full-strength teams. And even Costa Rica rested a couple of players, but they're still a very, very good team that might well end up winning this thing. So to, you know, earn a draw against that team the way they did it, because, you know, Canada, they ground out that result in the end. They're up 1-0 at one point. They were playing at them. Even late in the game, they were still going at Costa Rica on the counterattack. They were bailed out by their goalkeeper, Borjan, on more than one occasion. He was very good in that game. But it was a very good performance, a performance I didn't think this team had in it before the tournament. And we're seeing this team really with very short memories because there's so many fresh faces. You know, they haven't really been through the painful eras of Canadian soccer. You know, it's a fresh-looking squad. I mentioned Scott Arfield. He's slightly older, in his late 20s, but he's a new call-up. He's been around for about a year now because, he just decided to play for, I think his father's got a Canadian passport, I think. I apologize, I forget the actual reason there. But, this team don't care about the past. They're playing on with some real self-belief. The manager, Zambrano's letting them play, letting them have fun out there. You know, he's not as nearly as defensive or pragmatic as the previous coach, Benito Floro, who thought, man, we're really bad, we better just defend. Right. This guy is saying, no, actually, we have some talent going forward, let's let them play. So it's refreshing to watch, and that was a good result. And now it's, you know, Honduras, and a point will all but guarantee, what will guarantee them advancement. Of course, we've been there before with Canada and Honduras.
Oh, yeah, how'd that work out?
4 points now might still be enough. So it's good. It's been a very, very good tournament today for Canada.
Yeah, I think it's baby steps, right, James? Like, you're not even talking about winning anything now or big victories. It's about not being embarrassing and not being a nation when it comes to soccer that our national players like shy against. You know it's a punchline. You just don't want to be a punchline if you're Canada soccer right now.
And frankly, you know, no matter what happens on Friday now, we've seen enough positive signs in this tournament to feel somewhat hopeful for the short-term future. Long-term future, listen, I think the right people are in place now. Jason DeVos is doing his job at the grassroots level, finding a way to build a pathway for young players to improve coaching at the grassroots level. We'll see those rewards, you know, in years from now. But right now, there seems to be something at least in the current team. There's some hope for the future. And, you know, this manager, Octavio Zambrano, arrives, an attack-oriented coach with nothing to lose whatsoever. And he comes just as these young players are beginning to break through into, you know, the top league in North America and elsewhere as well. So for Zambrano, it's great timing for him. And we can enjoy this. And listen, they're not world beaters. They still probably won't qualify for 2022, but, you know, never say never. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you're right. They're not a punchline. They might put in some decent results and certainly some good performances in the next couple of years.
They're coming for you, Cyprus, in the FIFA World Rankings. Yeah.
We'll take that.
Yeah. Before we let you go, so Chuck Blazer died today. Did you see that? So, I mean,
I saw that.
Yeah, so speaking of CONCACAF and the joke that is that organization, or at least has been, you don't want to speak ill of the dead, but certainly, like, when it comes to Chuck Blazer and corruption in soccer, like, that's the whole story for him. I mean, he flipped eventually, but yeah, that guy was not on the level, let's say.
No, I mean, often when someone dies, you know, they become a hero straight away, don't they, no matter what happened. What I've read about him the last couple of days in obituaries, he's been described as a colorful character, and that's about as good as it gets. This guy was corrupt. this guy may have built a lot in North America, but he also, you know, disgraced himself and the game in CONCACAF as well. Simple as that, really. Yeah, it's sad he died, sure, of course it is, but that's not to say that he was a good guy at all. He did some terrible things and was corrupt, simple as that, and took money away from the game and put it in his pocket. So I think that's all that needs to be said about that.